Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Has traffic got worse or better since COVID, and what changes have commuters seen since summer's begun? Our reporter Brian O'Connell has been asking people in Cork if they've noticed an increase in traffic.
It's very, very heavy all day, every day. And now with the schools coming back, it will even be worse. When you look at it now today, nearly every household had three or four cars, and that makes it worse again, like, you know.
Let's imagine the Minister for Transport is sitting in the front there with you on a long taxi journey. What are you saying to him or her?
I would say very easy. Build the road structure first, and then houses after that.
What do you notice about traffic levels?
I actually haven't noticed an increase in traffic levels. In actual fact, I think this year, just in, you know, given the summer holidays and everything, the traffic levels are down a bit. So that's just my impression of. I think actually the trains from my experience of it have been a bit busier over the past year or two.
Do you notice traffic at the moment?
I do. And I would travel a lot from North Cork, so I might meet no traffic, and the minute I come to Carrigline, I'm sitting in traffic for 20 minutes. But if there's a crash at the tunnel, then you're kind of talking an extra 10 to 20 minutes as well. There's a very high volume of traffic. You are wasting a bit of time, and like that, if, you know, a crash is unavoidable, and it's an awful thing, but there doesn't seem to be anything in place to kind of divert traffic well.
Nobody walks, you know, that's the one thing. I see kids off my bike going to school in their own primary schools. They get picked up for sake of a 2 minute journey. They're being collected by car.
So that tradition of walking or cycling to school,
it's gone.
And it's leading to congestion then, because you have more cars on the road,
yeah,
dropping people off.
Their kids should be walking for health reasons anyway.
The country would appear to be doing well, and often at times like that you see congestion comes back.
Oh, big time, yeah. Congestion, big time, yeah.
The wisdom of crowds as gathered by Brian O'Connell in Cork. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, and Professor Brian Caulfield from the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Geraldine, let's start with yourself. Is it anecdotal or is it true that the summer drop in traffic hasn't been as pronounced this year?
Yeah, it actually hasn't this year. Now, normally it's anything between about sort of 5% and 7% drop. Now, obviously, that's most significant in the morning from sort of 8 to 9. But generally this year, it's only been about 2% to 3%. So if people are feeling that, you know, drop hasn't occurred, that's the case. Now, normally this obviously happens over two periods. There's the end of May, early June, when the secondary school closes. That brings certain changes, but the real drop is felt at the end of June. But as I said, July traffic would indicate that it has been significant, but not as significant as previous years.
All right. And just, do you mind, where do we get those figures from?
This is from the TII, the Transport Infrastructure Ireland. They have a dashboard around the country of, you know, the actual volume of traffic on roads, and that's what they're saying.
Okay, I suppose my own anecdotal evidence is I left just outside the Nace in County Kildare at about 10 to 7 this morning and hit my first bumpy bit of traffic probably somewhere beyond Rathcoole, around the Rathcoole mark, which is slightly later than normally would be the case. Traffic volume slightly down, but it came to a dead stop around Rathcoole and then on Sticky again at the Red Cow and then diverted off the M50 earlier than usual. So, I mean, let's keep the focus on where over a million people are commuting around in the greater Dublin area. What's happening in the cities and the M50 that I just mentioned?
Yeah, Dublin is an interesting one, and I'm very familiar with that route, Colin, because that's where I come in from. So basically, obviously, by volume and Dublin is the most congested city. We know that, as you say, it's the most populated. But it's also complicated because if you remember, there were traffic restrictions came in on the quays at the end of August last year. Now, what that has done is that has displaced traffic. So while buses are travelling much quicker now along those routes, and it's been very positive in that area, it hasn't only displaced traffic into adjacent streets, it's actually made a difference on the M50 as well, because traffic patterns have changed in accordance with that. So it's almost like squeezing a tube. You haven't actually got rid of the traffic, you've just moved it to a different place. So that is having an impact on the M50, on the Red Cow interchange, and on the adjacent routes as well around the quays.
Okay, and the dead stop I came to around kind of Rathcoole Baldonnell this morning. What kind of speeds are we seeing in terms of the limit? Are people above? Well, obviously nobody is above it, of course, but into how far below the limit are people travelling at?
I would imagine it's considerably, to be honest. I mean, there's a speed camera actually as you come in, which you'd be aware of when you come into New, just as you approach Newlands Cross or the old Newlands Cross on that N7. And I have to laugh why it's there, because nobody is ever approaching anything near the speed limit, and yet it sits there the whole time. But I mean, if you look at the M50 is literally now congested the whole time. There is no kind of peak times. It's permanently peak. So that's what's happening. So as I said, the volume of cars going into the city centre has reduced due to the restrictions, but definitely there has been a big impact on the adjacent and the arterial roads and the likes of the M50.
All right, Brian, what's your own, Professor Brian Caulfield from the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin, what's your take on those Transport Infrastructure Ireland figures? What are they telling us?
I suppose what they're telling us is that there's a dire need for alternatives to be put in place. Our population has increased, and that hasn't kept up in terms of the pace that we're delivering public transport projects. So as Geraldine mentioned there, that, you know, the drop-off in traffic isn't as much. It's because there's more people trying to travel around. There's also now, there seems to be at least a trend towards more companies wanting people to go back into the office. I think that could also be having an impact. So with working from home starts to maybe dissipate, that will result in much more traffic happening. And I think only for the working from home benefits of the pandemic, I think we will be talking about congestion an awful lot more in and around the Greater Dublin area that has been mentioned in terms of congestion. By 2040, that congestion is likely to cost about €1.5 billion per year unless we do anything. And then from the vox pop that you had in Cork, it's expected by 2040 that the cost of congestion in that city will double to about €100 million per year unless something is done.
Right, there's probably people sitting in Galway at the moment going, hey, what about us? That, you know, you've got their normal busy commuter traffic, and then just as you think you might get that school closure ease over the summer, you've got loads of tourists going west and coming back from their holidays as well. So they're probably no strangers to the summer jams.
Not at all. And actually, in the piece of research that I'm quoting from by the Department of Transport, it says that Galway will have the highest per capita increase in congestion right across the country. They expect the cost of congestion in that city to triple by 2040 to about €100 million per year. So again, that city, I think, is one that's been kind of left behind. It's fallen between the stools in terms of a transport alternative. Something needs to happen in that city quite urgently in order for the city to grow and be the vibrant city that it is.
All right. And by something, do you mean ring roads or the light commuter rail that's being talked about? What is that something that would be most effective?
I think the thing that would be the most effective would be a light rail system for the city. And I think it would be the thing that would be the most sustainable. It would hit our climate goals and all the rest. But I think now that the city is at the point at which it is at, I think it'll be hard not to justify building an outer ring road around the city. And if that does happen, I think there'll be some interesting court cases that will happen as a part of it, because building a road is going to result in increased emissions, and that goes against government policy, government climate policy. So there will be a big debate. I think that's maybe where it'll definitely test the mettle of the government in terms of its climate ambitions, and then also the road building that might happen as a part of the NDP.
All right. Will they be looking at the M50 and the experience there in Galway if they're thinking of a ring road and trying to avoid that?
I would imagine so. And they could look at that. But as I said, I think the traffic levels and the volumes are so high in Galway at the moment. And also the lead time that it would take to build a light rail system in that city compared to building a motorway. I think the logic will dictate that perhaps the motorway, which, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be in favour of, but then I don't sit in Galway traffic every day. I think that probably will get the priority.
Geraldine, do you think that there are people maybe in their cars who are normally in public transport but anticipated a summer drop-off in, say, the big pinch points like around Dublin, thinking, well, I'll take the car and I'll be in and out just that bit quicker over the course of the summer, and I'll go back and revert to the trains when the schools reopen and the working traffic increases from later this month onwards?
Yeah, I mean, possibly, because as I said, you know, what we normally see is quite a significant decrease. Now, I'm sure if anyone has decided to do that, they've probably already gone back to the train column, because it's like it hasn't got any better. So I would imagine that doesn't account for a huge amount. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think what has happened is over the last few years, we've had this bounce back since the pandemic. It seems to have stabilized now and it's just not going anywhere. So even when the schools close, there's a bit of, you know, relief. But really, you know, congestion has just become an issue now across the country and we're back really where we were in 2019.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot because I know we are discussing, you know, road commuter levels by and large. But do the Transport Infrastructure Ireland figures, and Brian, if you want to pitch in on this, please do they tell us anything about public transport usage over the summer months?
I'm not sure about that, Yeah, sorry, just for one thing, if I can just say about Dublin, though, I mean, there are more people using public transport. This data does tell us that there are less cars coming into the city. But unfortunately, the journey times are still as bad as they were and congestion is still as bad because of the various restrictions are causing issues elsewhere. So we do know that much.
All right, Brian.
I would agree. What we do know about public transport usage is there's never been more people using public transport. And again, it shows to the urgent issue of providing that capacity in public transport, because if even, you know, the people that are cycling, if they started to drive, it would result in much, much worse congestion. So we need to invest in it as a priority. And hopefully that will happen in the new NDP.
It would probably be difficult anyway to strip out the number of the tourist figures using the public transport from the people who normally use it. So it's probably quite a complicated read to get on things for over the summer as well. In terms, Geraldine, just of you know, people coming in and out, you mentioned there post-COVID and people returning to work. And Brian, you touched on it yourself. If people are returning to the office, do we have any evidence that they're being offered more flexible times to avoid this kind of congestion?
Well, that definitely is the secret to success, because obviously the 8 to 9 window across the country is the worst. And that is the one that's impacted most by the school. And we will see that in, you know, in 2 weeks time or 3 weeks time when they return. So if people can come in at later times, that is making a big difference. But we do know anecdotally as well that companies are putting more pressure on people to return. If that is the case, we're going to see much worse congestion by September.
All right, Brian, what your thoughts? Because there are several companies have been talking about getting people back into the office here and abroad as well. Has that been planned for, do you think?
I'm not sure that it has been planned for in terms of public transport. If you look at the data that comes from the NTA, they do an annual household survey. It shows pre and post COVID that there's an 8% drop off in work trips. So that's when that extra volume of people come into either the road network or the public transport network, it's going to cause an awful lot of pressure. And as Geraldine mentioned, the secret sauce here is getting them out and shifting the peak, getting them in either before the peak happens or after the peak happens. And that could result in trying to alleviate some of the congestion. But that's tied in also with the schools and the universities being back as well. So it's kind of the perfect storm of congestion. It could happen in September if this going back to work trend also continues.
All right, flatten the curve, as they used to say in COVID, not to invoke that. Now, thanks very much to you both on that. To Brian O'Connell earlier for talking to commuters and punters in Cork, Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, and Professor Brian Caulfield from the School of Engineering in Trinity College. Now, how to spot pain in your pet, Niamh Fagan, on reading the signs. And if you have any questions for her, you can WhatsApp them to us on 0870 32 32 32. Plus, up next, why are thousands of pensioners being hit with unexpected multi-annual tax bills?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.